My name is Judd Bagley, and thank you for listening to the Deep Capture Podcast. You know, there are, for the most part, two ways for non-insiders to improperly influence stock prices, either through manipulative trading or the spreading of misinformation. Both of these are done with the intention of sparking unwarranted hype or panic in the broader market. It was a combination of trade-based and information-based manipulation that led to the sudden collapse of both Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers in 2008. In response, regulators finally made it much more difficult to engage in trade-based manipulation, on the short side at least, and the result has been a dramatic reduction in the prevalence of that practice. What has not been reduced, however, is the prevalence of greed, which I've predicted would cause would-be manipulators to shift resources away from trade-based manipulation in favor of its information-based counterpart. We all know what this means. More anonymous message board posters and bloggers making unsubstantiated claims about a company's prospects. Now, whether this is done on the long or the short side, it is wrong. But what makes it particularly pernicious on the short side is the lasting negative impact the practice has on the reputations of real people, as the target company's management is very often frequently subjected to especially libelous claims, which inevitably accumulate and darken reputations as determined more and more each day, unfortunately, by Google and other search engines that are unconcerned with the accuracy of the information they return in response to queries about real people and organizations. That someone can spend years creating a good name for themselves and their company, only to have dedicated, anonymous miscreants tarnish both in a matter of months or even weeks at virtually zero cost, is highly suggestive of a system that's broken. And yet, it's the one we have. It's the one we're stuck with. The good thing about markets is that if needs develop, eventually enterprising individuals will step up to fill them. In this case, the need is online reputation management and repair, and the enterprising individual is Michael Roberts, the founder of Rexfield, a company dedicated to reorganizing online information in favor of accuracy, fairness, and balance. Roberts arrived at the Rexfield concept in the most genuine of ways, as a frustrated target of a vicious internet libel campaign. Eventually, Roberts took the lessons he learned through the process of solving his own problem and built a company around them. We met recently and I recorded the conversation. Now, what follows are some of the highlights. I've also included portions of a chat I had with Patty McPeak. She's one of Rexfield's earliest clients.
My name's Michael Roberts and I'm the founder of Rexfield. I manage the investigations and litigation support, as well as having significant input with the search engine optimization and reputation management aspects of the business. I guess I would probably be described as a serial entrepreneur since I was about 18. And my first business was a bicycle courier business in Australia. From there, I moved to America in the mid-90s, and I worked for about a year and a half for a large organization, large computer training organization. And thereafter, I started a contract instructor brokerage business for contract trainers. Unfortunately, in that time, a relationship that went very bad with a person that I had allowed to get very, very close to me began a somewhat of a Jekyll and Hyde transformation. And this person began an incredible smear campaign against me using the internet as the medium of choice, as well as anonymous mailings to clients and customers, vendors, and so forth, and ultimately led to the insolvency of this business. And I was forced to sell it for the sake of the people that were employed. It was actually extortion. It was sell it or else, and then the revenue from the sale essentially went to this person. So that left me without any business, and my reputation in tatters, because naturally for an entrepreneur, if I was to seek employment, just regular employment, or try to start a new business, whoever was going to either employ me or go into partnership with me would do their due diligence. And the first place people go today for due diligence is Google. And page one of Google was just full of a horrible, egregious allegations. So bizarre that although most people would not believe them, even those reasonable people who would see through the assertions and that were made were intimidated by the situation in itself and intimidated by the other party. The person used very stealthy mechanisms to effect this internet libel smear campaign against me, and lots of anonymous postings on websites. There were Blogspot through the Google service set up, and this person would not only use fake names, they would use false disposable email addresses provided by Yahoo or AOL or whoever to make it very difficult to trace. I took a few things to court, but unfortunately the judges don't see it to be the problem. They look at it as if somebody's, you know, spread a rumor and then it'll go away in 2 weeks' time. They don't understand, particularly some of the older judges, that it persists 24 hours, 7 days a week, and never goes away unless something is done about it. So I tried to speak reason to the internet service providers that were republishing this defamatory material, and proving conclusively with allegations made about where I might have been at some point or who I might have been with, showing whether it be passports or whatever it is that was needed to prove that it was false. And from the likes of Google, Yahoo is pretty good, as is Microsoft Search, but Google would generally send a canned email response saying that they don't have to do anything because of Section 230C of the Communications Decency Act. And it's a safe harbor. So unlike a newspaper, if I proved something was libelous, it was published, the newspaper would have to retract it immediately or they are liable. Google is not, and the likes of Google are not liable because of this safe harbor in this silly law. Google has some brilliant people, but when the unofficial mantra or motto is "don't be evil," that throws up red flags there right away. After that, I was almost to the point of tears one day in anguish, that I felt like I was in this prison, and that Google was the jail keeper, and there was nothing that I could do about it. And in tears and in prayer, trying to work out what it was, you know, I could do. What could I possibly do to provide for my family? I have three children and a wife. The Rexfield concept at that moment just popped in my head. Never considered it before. I started doing some searches for people struggling with internet libel, and I found there was thousands of them. I found people contemplating suicide, people whose businesses, marriages, you know, I mean, whole lives have been destroyed because of it. At this point, I had already begun pro se litigation against my antagonist and begun the discovery process, and I had been able to positively identify this person. And but when I began the trial and error of obtaining discovery from Google or from Yahoo or from the internet service providers, the cable networks and so forth, often I'd be shot down in flames because my documents weren't artful enough, weren't using the right legal, and I was doing this pro se. But as I refined the techniques, I found, once I realized, you know, it was pretty much in a 2 or 3 day period when I had several denials or resistance documents come back, I realized exactly what they need to hear and how the subpoenas and discovery requests had to be worded in such a way that they didn't have wiggle room with respect to CDA or First Amendment or whatever. And I was, from that date, able to refine those processes. And along the way, I had seen that a lot of attorneys had made a lot of mistakes in the same area. And so on this day of anguish, the Rexfield concept bloomed, was born, and the name came soon thereafter. And since then, no looking back. I get to help people a lot of the time before they get to the same level of anguish that I finally arrived at. So it's very rewarding. Initially, we would just have a client that had a terrible internet reputation because a competitor might have begun smearing them. And I think the first case was a tradesman. And so what we did was find whatever internet content was already existing for that person that was either positive or neutral. And we would persuade Google to see that positive content as being more relevant and just worthy of higher ranking, and through whatever methods, search engine optimization methods, in an attempt to bury, dilute, or remove. And often we can get the negative defamatory materials removed altogether. And then the next step, the natural progression from there, was litigation support for attorneys that didn't know what to do, how to get this discovery, how to prove who the antagonists were, where they lived or where they worked, and so forth. So I now come alongside those litigation teams and I prepare the subpoenas, some cases the causes of action and the complaints for filing. So we've had to develop techniques to get past Google, for example, or Yahoo, or whoever the publisher of the material is, and find the IP at the ISP that actually the antagonist was connecting to the internet cloud through, and then preserve the records directly. And so we've developed a series of techniques, such as, you know, using social engineering as the main tool to set for the antagonist to set tripwires, I guess you'd call it tripwires, that tell us what their IP address is. Yeah, well, one of the earlier cases that, in fact, is still it's approaching hopefully closure at the moment, settlement, but it may actually go to court, was where the founder and CEO of a publicly listed company was being anonymously defamed by many pseudonyms on message boards.
These message board various screen names created false identities, attacking me in the most personal and the most unbelievable viciousness. The message boards can play a vital role, but certain people came in and put out lies and venom and created the most hate-driven message board I think out there. Ultimately, these message board posters were proven to be absolutely wrong, and they were created screen names that would communicate with one another. One man would have 9 or 10 different screen names, and he logged in and talked to himself so that people would think that this was a broad-based group of people that knew something really terrible about me. They thought that they were anonymous, that nobody could possibly get to them. And so, you know, they were reckless in the things they said, because they thought that they were safe and they could make these vile accusations about me without any fear of reprisal.
And of course, the Google results for this person's name were had some horrific allegations and assertions being made in every aspect of the person's life.
I was so upset that I began talking to people and seeing if anybody knew of any kind of group that could help me. And somebody from Cornell University called me and had heard about Rexfield. And I spoke to Michael Roberts and told him the situation, and I retained him. You know, I'm 70 years old, and I founded a number of companies, and this is not a legacy that I wish to leave, you know, at my age. And so I was willing to spend the money.
So the first thing we did was to leverage the positive or neutral existing material on Google and remove the negative postings. But at the same time, that was done through our search engine optimization business unit, and at the same time I was engaged through this person's attorney and began investigating the sources of these allegations.
When he saw the postings, he said, well, you know, I think that we can get subpoenas because these are things that are libel per se. You can't call somebody a criminal. And so I'm in the middle of a settlement right now. No, I wouldn't classify it as successful. I would say it was spectacularly successful. I don't regret one thing I've done with regard to Rexfield. I think that they've done a magnificent job for me.
And a classic example is the Lascua Cohen case in New York City recently, the model who was called a skank. And I helped that team after the case with some mopping up issues. But her attorney did a great job of getting the case admitted to New York for a start, and that rather than having to go to California and then getting a motion to compel success, an order to compel Google to provide the information on the antagonist. And thankfully there was an email. The antagonist made the mistake of using an email that she had used for other things to register the Google blogspot, and it was very easy to identify her. But as a result of that attorney had weeks was receiving calls. I've been told by a few people that looked extensively that I'm the only person in the world that really does just what I do, as far as the litigation support and finding anonymous bloggers and so forth. I mean, other people do it, but this is what I do for a living. We get a lot of inquiries, and often the inquiries are emotional, knee-jerk reactions to things like somebody got a bad eBay feedback. You know, it's not worth spending good money trying to fix something like that. It's when it gets out of control, when it turns into wildfire, that's the people that we can really help. I can look at some cases and I can tell that people are emotional and I can relate to it because I've been in exactly the same place, but usually I can give them a few tips on how to deal with it, I guess emotionally, even though I'm not a therapist, I'm not licensed for that either, but I can just tell them what I've done or what I would do. There's no need to spend money. But if it's somebody that, as I said, they need to litigate, they've got a pretty good idea, they need to litigate, they've only got one shot at it in most cases, they can contact me through our website, which is Rexfield is spelled with two X's, rexxfield.com.
You know, it's interesting. Along the way, I asked Michael for an example of some of his clients, which he gave to me, and I went and Googled their names. And initially, I was a little skeptical, thinking, what do these people have to worry about? Their results are pristine. I asked Michael about this, and he pointed out something that should have been obvious to me, and that is, when he arrived on the scene, they were anything but pristine. In fact, he gave me several examples. I could go back and see. It really is shocking, the impact that this service has on people's online reputations. So if you or your company have been the target of an internet smear campaign, as many readers of Deep Capture have been, I strongly suggest you contact Michael Roberts at rexfield.com. As he says, it's spelled rexxfield.com. And you can learn more about how you too can regain control of your online reputation.